Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Orchid Pharma Limited Q3 FY24 Investor Conference Call hosted by Systematix Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Manchanda from Systematix Institutional Equities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sagar. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities, I welcome you to the Q3 FY24 earnings call of Orchid Pharma. We thank the Orchid Pharma management for giving us an opportunity to host the call. Today, we have with us the senior management of Orchid, represented by Mr. Manish Dhanuka, Managing Director, Mr. Mridul Dhanuka, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Sunil Kumar Gupta, Chief Financial Officer. I'll now hand over the call to the company management for opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Manish Dhanuka, the Managing Director of the company. It gives me great pleasure to welcome you all to this call on the results of our company for the third quarter of fiscal year 2024. Let me begin by sharing some of the key highlights of our financial performance during the Q3 of 2024. In this quarter, our sales have shown remarkable growth, increasing from 159.8 crores to 220 crores. Further, over the span of 9 months, we have witnessed a substantial rise from 456 crores to 602 crores on a year-on-year basis. Our EBITDA has followed a similar positive trajectory, increasing from 22.6 crores to 43.3 crores in Q3, and from 61.6 crores to 99.3 crores in the cumulative 9 months when compared to the same period last year. Additionally, our profit after tax has seen a commendable increase, moving from 6.7 crores to 30.5 crores in Q3, and from a negative of 10.7 crores to 61.6 crores in the 9-month period over the corresponding period of the previous fiscal year. I'm particularly proud to highlight our continued focus on efficiency and productivity. Despite the operationalization of an additional facility in the sterile area, which we discussed during the last call, we have managed to keep our expenses ratio in check. Specifically, our employee expenses have moved from 10.7% of sales over the 9-month period to 8.6% this year. Similarly, other expenses as a percentage of sales have gone down from 21.4% to 18.6% over the same period. This showcases our commitment to cost management and operational efficiency. It's worth mentioning that amidst these financial achievements, Orchid Pharma has received very encouraging news from the regulatory authorities. Enmetazobactam has been recommended for approval by the European Medicines Agency, and we anticipate receiving the US FDA approval also within February. In terms of our ongoing projects, progress is underway for the 7 ACA projects. We have started registering the land parcels in Jammu. We have commissioned the pilot plant in Chennai this month, and we are now embarking on the detailed engineering study as the basic engineering design nears completion. We have been discussing the subject of antimicrobial resistance. Antimicrobial resistance is one of the biggest issues we are facing in the healthcare industry at present. Our project of cefiderocol with Shionogi and Gardpi is also in the same line, which addresses the issue of antimicrobial resistance by providing access to that molecule. Continuing on the same line, we have assembled a team of experts who are devising a strategy to launch a new division coined as Orchid AMS or Orchid Antimicrobial Solutions. We hope to launch this division next couple of quarters. This division will be a hospital sales division for the company. In conclusion, I am optimistic about the future of Orchid Pharma Limited. Our robust financial performance, combined with positive regulatory developments and progress on key projects, instills confidence in our ability to continue this upward trajectory. I would like to express my gratitude to all our stakeholders employees, investors, and partners for their unwavering support. Together, we will navigate the challenges and capitalize on opportunities, ensuring the sustained success and growth of Orchid Pharma Limited. Thank you. We will take the questions now.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets only while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants may press star and one on their touchtone phone to join the question queue. The first question is from the line of Jainil Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question is, what is, driving our growth in this particular quarter? Is it domestic? Is it exports? And also, what has driven our gross margin improvement?
So this is in continuation with our strategy in last 3 years, which is about developing new customers and new markets. I would say the growth is overall in all the different territories, and it would be difficult to point out any single territory. As we've always said, quarter to quarter comparison of territories is not very meaningful. So I think this is the result of our efforts to develop new customers and also develop new products. A product that we had launched last year, once it went off patent, ceftazidime avibactam, has also contributed to the sales.
On the gross margin question, Jalil, this is an effect of some low-priced inventory while the prices were increasing in the market. So it's a one-off thing. Our long-term guidance would remain as 40 plus minus 2, as we have been always saying.
Sure. And, with Asteril block coming in last quarter, so how is that capacity filling up? And are we on track to operationalize our oral capacity, this quarter?
Yeah, so the sterile block was commissioned just in November, and in last quarter there was minimum capacity utilization. This quarter, roughly half, we plan to reach roughly half utilization, and it will take another 6 months to a year to go to 100% utilization as we stabilize more products and, file them. For the oral capacity, the project is online and should be as per our expectation by end of H1 next year.
This is helpful. Thank you. I'll get back in.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anant Jain from Investor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. My first question is, since Dhanuka... Hello? Am I audible?
Yeah. Yes, we can hear.
Yeah, so, okay. Can you give some flavor on how Dhanuka Laboratories has done this quarter? Because I think the merger is pretty much done for the company and we don't have any information shared on that. That's the first question I have. Second question that I have is, with Cefiderocol, what are the timelines for Cefiderocol? When can we expect, the launch of Cefiderocol in India and the remaining 135 countries? And B, can this partnership with Shionogi be expanded, or do we have plans to onboard more such partners? That would be my second question. The third question that I have is, in terms of our current capacities, if you could give us some idea as to what could be the max revenue from our current capacities, what could be the revenue potential after we have in some ways kind of, current capacities of both Dhanuka and Dhanuka Labs and this? And if what could be the capacities after debottlenecking? Because I would assume that, you know, if you would that there would be some debottlenecking opportunities without doing much of CapEx. If you can just help me with this.
That's a lot of questions, Anand. Thanks. So let me start reverse in terms of capacities. So it's difficult to put a number or a revenue potential on the capacities. As we have explained earlier, Orchid makes almost 40 products and the capacities are fungible. Having said that, we have talked about, you know, a 20 to 25% CAGR basis if you look back 3 years from today how the business has been growing. And for another couple of years, we don't see any more investments needed. So that could be the rough math we could do to say that how much we can do without any capacity addition. On cefiderocol, the product is not yet registered in India, and we have to figure out how the regulatory pathway for that will work before the product can be introduced. At the same time, this is a very complicated product, and the only vial lyophilization cephalosporin to be made in the world today. So we have to set up dedicated facilities, which will also take its time. So our estimate is second half of 26 when we can launch this product.
There was one more question that I asked in terms of, like, you know, are we looking at more partnerships of this kind with innovators? Is there anything in pipeline?
So, unfortunately, pipeline discussions are confidential and cannot be shared. But we, of course, welcome a partnership. The only point is that in terms of cephalosporins, there are very few molecules which are still under patent.
Agreed with that. Yeah. And Dhanuka revenues, if you could give some idea there. Dhanuka Labs.
So Dhanuka has also done well this year. The growth is around 20% over there. So they have done about 400 crores till in 9 months.
400, because they did 275 crores in the first half is what I remember. So they have done another 125 crores in Q2.
Right.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you. I have more questions. I'll be in the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and 1 on your touchtone phone to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rupesh Satya from IntelSense Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello sir, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, sir, my one clarification, this Dhanuka 400 crore revenue, would you be able to share EBITDA margin? That's what I've done in 9 months.
Unlisted company, so we don't track that on a quarter-to-quarter basis.
But then maybe you can give a broad range. What would it be?
I think it would be in line with what it has always been. Of course, with the growth coming this, maybe slightly improvement should be there.
Okay, sir. Another. My first question, sir, is this 7-ACA capex that we're trying to do in Jammu. I read one of the brokerage reports, and there were, you know, a lot of incentives: GST refund, PLI benefit, interest subvention, electricity benefits. So, can you just list down? I mean, I haven't heard it from you in this forum. So, can you just list down all the incentives that we are looking at?
Actually, you listed down all the four. So yeah, there is a GST benefit under the scheme, and the PLI benefit is also there, plus the interest subvention is around 6% over there. Electricity prices, I think, as such are lower in Jammu and Kashmir. There's no specific benefit, but the prices are lower.
So would it be, and I think in the past you have said that at least we'll make 10% operating margins in 7-ACA in one of the older calls. So would it be fair to say that we'll get our money back in 7-ACA in 3 years? Would that be a fair statement to make once you know, we're operational and running at optimum capacity?
So if I remember correctly, we said that our technology provider and some of the people that we talked to, they've said that it was a 10% EBITDA business when they were running at similar capacity. And we hope that the benefits would be over and above that. I don't have the exact numbers what would be the payback period.
Okay, sir. And then my another question is that we have talked about, you know, launching some of the new products, two of which I think you have pointed out in old presentation. One is Ceftaroline and another one is Cefovecin. So if you can talk, where are we in terms of, you know, DMF filing, validation batches, some update if you can give.
Yeah, so we've talked about the products in the last presentation as Ceftazidime, Avibactam and Ceftaroline. So we are on track with respect to the filing of the DMF for Ceftazidime, Avibactam has already been filed and the ANDA should be filed shortly. And Ceftaroline is planned to be targeted towards the end of this year. So we are on track with that as well.
Okay, and how about Cefovecin, sir?
Cefovecin, we've never talked about a target that's under development product. So we are talking to several companies for a partnership on that. So
it's a veterinary product. So we have the product ready in the laboratory, but we are looking for a partner. And once we have the partner, we can take the validation batches any day. We're discussing some commercial negotiation with people who can market it in the US market, which is the largest. For other market sampling and other things are in progress.
Okay, I see, sir. And another, sir, with respect to Enmetazobactam, can you give some timeline about India launch and what would be, you know, peak revenue potential in 2-3 years in Enmetazobactam?
So our file is moving with the DCGI, and we are answering their queries as. You know, people who are tracking the pharmaceutical business, the DCGI has become very, very stringent. And so we are answering their queries. And we have requested for a waiver as well, considering the problem of antimicrobial resistance. And this product addresses that issue to a large extent. So we have requested for a waiver of the clinical trials. If we get that, then it should be possible in 6 to 8 months time. Otherwise, we are looking at maybe first quarter of the next financial.
Okay, and what would be potential size, sir? I mean, any
difficult one. Injectable antibiotic size is about 7,000 crores. Now, depending on the price elasticity, it could take between 3 to 5% share in 3 to 5 years.
Okay, that's good to know, sir. And another question, sir, is what would be our export domestic split for this quarter, and is it fair to assume that domestic business is a higher margin business than company average? Is that because generally I think domestic we have newer products and things like that. In at least Avibactam is one. So is that a fair assumption to make?
So it would not be fair to generalize the margins specific to the region. It depends on the specific product and specific region. Like, yeah, Ceftazidime and Avibactam has yielded us good margins. We had almost a monopoly for last 8 to 9 months. Plus, there are a lot of other products which we have increased our sales in India because they were being imported from China, and few products we have completely stopped the imports from China. So that's where Orchid is developing, you know, the more complicated products, which in fact no other company in India which manufactures sterile stuff manufactures. So those products have definitely yielded better margin in India, but you cannot generalize like that.
Okay, and maybe final question, sir, is can we assume that Ceftazidime Avibactam will continue to grow at, you know, 15-20% in India for us for a few years, because it's a very new product and, you know, like that?
So I can't tell you about that, because you see, with antimicrobial resistance, we would not advocate, you know, blatant use of the product. It's a very, very special product and probably a last resort until we can launch Cefiderocol. So growth is not a criteria for us in India per se, but yes, for Orchid as such, we expect good growth from it, because we have now seeded many export markets, and we expect to get good orders from overseas customers.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. I'll come back in. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants may press star and one to ask a question. If you wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Nihar Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Good evening, sir. Like, I have 2 to 3 questions. First is on the US revenue, which we were expecting to climb up. So what's the update on that and how's the European market recovering?
So for US customers, basically we talked about it on the earlier call. We had a large US order with a good revenue potential. But unfortunately, that site got a US FDA warning letter in April of 23. So right now we are back to square one for the US market. And the European market is doing well for us, especially this quarter.
Okay, and do we have any updates on the backward integration for the 7 ACA plant?
Yeah, Mr. Manish Dhanuka talked about in his speech, so our land acquisition registry process has started. We are ready with the pilot plant and they are taking trial batches in the pilot plant. And for the commercial scale production, the basic engineering stage is complete and the detailed engineering will start.
The most important thing for a fermentation-based product is the strain. So happy to announce that we have brought the strain from our technology provider and now we have we started the trials in our own pilot plant. So that's the key factor in fermentation and we've got that under control now.
Okay, okay, sir. And we said that H2 is generally better in case of revenue. So how are we seeing revenue growth for quarter on quarter basis in Q4 and let's say FY25 as well?
Yeah, so Nihar, we have always talked about Orchid not to be looked at as a quarter on quarter growth. Always look at Orchid as cumulative numbers, so 9 months cumulative, and now when we talk on the next call, we will have the full financial year. And our guidance will always remain, when you look back up, 2-3 years from today, you should see a 20-25% figure. Year on year, quarter on quarter number might be here in the future.
Okay, and what about the EBITDA margin, or are we sticking to the gross margin guidance of 40% in the long term?
Yeah, 40 plus minus 2, that's our long term guidance. And EBITDA margins should be, like you said, should be high teens in the long term.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashita Jain from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Congrats on a very good set of numbers. My first question is from EBITDA to Vacuum. So what is the update on China, launch in China? And could you also help us, since the product is now approved in Europe and you are anticipating approval in US, how do you expect this product to ramp up?
Can you just repeat what you're saying? Could not understand.
Yeah, I'll repeat it. Is this better?
Yes.
Okay. So my first question is on Envitazobactam. So just wanted to update. Is there any update on the China launch? And also now since the product is now approved in Europe and we're anticipating approval in US, how do you expect this product to ramp up?
Yeah, so on China, we don't have any news as of now. US and Europe, we expect the sales to start in Q1 of next financial year. So the growth of a new product is typically exponential. It should start slow, but percentage growth month on month, year on year would be very high for the first few years.
Understood. The second question on the PLI thing. Just wanted to understand, have you received any extension from the government in terms of plant commercialization and the PLI benefit?
No.
So we are having quarterly discussions with them. I don't think we need any extension from them as long as we file the quarterly report for them.
What will be a first year of PLI benefit, if you can just clarify?
Sorry?
First year of PLI benefit, if you can just clarify.
No, I still did not understand. What clarification? No. What?
I mean, the plant is ideally should start from FY26. Is that the right understanding? In order to not lose out on the first year of PLI benefit?
I don't know. Can somebody repeat? Ashita, sorry, your voice is either echoing, you're speaking on speaker. I cannot understand what you're saying.
Okay, is this better?
Yeah, better I could understand, yes.
I try to repeat my question. I just wanted to understand because there were several delays in terms of our plant commercialization. So, are we losing out on any first or second year of PLI benefit? Just wanted to check on that.
Okay, now I got it. Right now, so if you go by the strict sense of the scheme, it can be interpreted as that. At the same time, like Mr. Mani said, we are constantly in touch with the government and they do their quarterly reviews. And over there, we have, you can say, assurances that once we are commissioned, they will look at it. Like the earlier PLI plants of even Aurobindo is not yet commissioned. And that's the same discussion they are having with the other partners as well. But yeah, strict sense on paper, right now, if we commission when as per our plan, we might lose out on those 2 years.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anant Jain from Investor. Please go ahead.
One question from my side, sir. For cefiderocol, we will be needing a separate block. Is there a similar requirement for Enmetazobactam?
No, there is no specific requirement.
And in case of cefiderocol, is there a possibility for us for doing contract manufacturing for the innovator?
We are strictly bound by the contract, yeah, but the possibility always exists. That's why we are setting up the plant, which would be capable of clearing US and Europe or even Japan approvals. And if we are able to manufacture at a reasonable cost, we do expect some benefits from the innovator because they are already running short of the product.
Okay. Same thing for Enmetazobactam because I'm assuming that right now the sourcing for API for Enmetazobactam is from China. So once we have our facility ready, our production ready, do you think that Enmetazobactam API sourcing could happen from our side?
Yeah, there is a possibility once they start sourcing it commercially. There is a possibility.
Oh, that's nice to hear. Last question is, you have repeated multiple times that, you know, the royalty, the sales royalty is 6% to 8% on Enmetazobactam sales. Does that stand for China as well?
Yes, it does.
Okay, thank you.
The agreement says worldwide sales. So, we commit into China.
Like, irrespective of the change of ownerships of the molecule, 6 to 8% of our royalty stands, irrespective of the location of sales.
Right.
Great. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rupesh Tatia from IntelSense Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity again, sir. One question is, sir, we were looking at, you know, reconfiguring our capacity in oral side, you know, to get rid of low-margin products, move that capacity to a higher-margin product. So can you maybe talk about that? Where are we on that update, Sunny?
So that is a continuous process. I mean, we keep doing that. We are developing products which are having higher margins and seeding with the samples to the customers for those products. That's a continuous process any API manufacturer follows.
So that's on the product development side. On the capacity side, that's the oral capacity rejig we have talked about earlier, which should be complete by end of H1 next financial year.
And how do we measure this, sir? I mean, can we say that margins can go up?
No. So, again, repeating answer to an earlier question by somebody on the call. After this, we won't need any large capex for our general growth besides the project that we've already announced, like Cefiderocol and 7-ACA.
Okay, but how about margins, sir? I mean, can we assume that the margins will go up by 1-2%?
No, we are not guiding, guiding anything on increasing the margins. So they will remain at 40 plus minus 2% on long-term basis.
Even after the reconfiguration, sir, I mean?
Yes, yes. The reconfiguration is part of that.
Okay. I see, sir. And another thing, sir, is this Dhanuka also has an NPNC business. I mean, if you know for 9 months what contribution came from that business, and then after merger, I mean, what are your thoughts on, scaling up this business? Because this will be a good diversification, probably a better margin business. So maybe if you can talk about that.
Right now, we are not ready to talk about that on this call, Rupesh. Also, unlisted company sharing that data is difficult. So, but right now, the focus of the company will be, stabilizing the new projects that we have talked about. And if you look at the merged entity where the turnover would be upwards of 1,000 crore, that will have a very small contribution in the total sales. Although that CAGR for that would be higher than Orchid's overall CAGR significantly, but still that would not make much of a dent if we change that by 5 or 10% here or there.
Okay. And can you provide an update on our hospital business, sir? Hospital vertical, we were looking at it. How is progress there? And can we expect some commercial revenue from this in FY25?
Yeah, FY25 definitely. We hope we can launch it in first quarter. If not, then definitely second quarter of next financial year. And we are devising strategy which should be different from the current players, and we hope to do well there. And hopefully the establishment of network will help us in selling both Cefiderocol and Cefepime and Metazobact.
Thank you. Mr. Kumar, do you have any more questions? Question is from the line of participants are requested to press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from the line of Nihar Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question again. I missed the export and domestic revenue mix, so can you just state it again for me?
Yeah, so domestic and export is normally between, domestic is around 15 to 18% for Orchid. And again, these numbers we normally show annual because quarter on quarter, one shipment here or there could be, 10, 20 crores and can sway the number. So annual basis, the number should be around 18%.
Okay, and are we aiming to increase the domestic market or this share should be good enough going ahead?
I think at our CAGR, both domestic and export markets should grow healthily.
Okay. And are we taking some steps to optimize our cost in order to increase the margin?
That is a continuous process any API company has to do. Yeah. That's absolutely essential for us.
Yeah, and as we talked about in our speech, if we look at all our cost ratios with respect to sales have been improving, and that's where we believe our leverage strategy of leveraging the assets and higher cost base of Orchid comes into play. That's what's going to continuously work on improving the EBITDA margins for the company.
However, I just like to add that there are some businesses that we are now trying to develop, for example, the antimicrobial solutions. So we are assembling a team of people who would be working on the strategy. So maybe next 1 or 2 quarters, those expenses would be loaded without any revenue. Similarly, the new sterile block that we have commissioned, which has not yet come to the optimized utilization. So obviously the costs increase, and the revenue increases maybe after 2 quarters. So that much of lag on expenses would be there.
Oh, okay. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Kumar from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. First on Cefiderocol, what will be the number of patients that we can assume for LMIC? And if I assume 2 weeks of treatment and 3 vials per day, so total 40 vials per patient is a reasonable assumption?
Yeah, so per patient treatment is 60 vials because it's 3 times a day but 2 grams, so 6 vials. So that means on an average of 7 to 14 days if you take, that's an average of 10 days, so 6 vials per patient. And in terms of LMIC patients, you can count roughly, I think, 40 to 50% of the deaths which are happening due to AMR as reported by the Global Burden of Disease data, which is about 5 million people. 50% of those deaths reported are from LMIC, maybe even more. So the current projections that we are discussing with the Shionogi and Gartley imagines that initial market out of the total 135 country supply, the first wave of 14 countries should have roughly 70 to 80% share from India.
70 to 80% share from?
India.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So 5 million, 50% will be 2.5 million is the target market.
In terms of count, you can say that.
Okay. And per vial cost will be roughly, say, $10?
No, it's difficult to put a number to that. Current cost of per vial is roughly $200 in the US
market. Until the process development and costing is not done, it's difficult to comment.
Okay. Okay. And so Gartley lacks experience in marketing. Will that impact our distribution or sales in LMIC, or will they appoint another entity to do that for them?
So there would be partnership model. They would be offering commercial sub-licensing like they've offered to Orchid here in India. If they, let's say the next country is Pakistan, so they will find a partner over there. So what Gartley has is basically access to the molecule. They are the licensee from Shionogi, and they will further issue sub-licenses.
Gartley's charter does not talk about selling the product. They are not a for-profit company. So they will never have a sales experience. Their idea is how do they marry the product to the market and facilitate that is easy access so that it's affordable for low and middle income countries. That's their charter. So every country they will have to go and find a partner.
Okay. Okay. And our agreement with them is public. And I was going through, it says up to 25% PBT margins is allowed. Will it be 20%? Or can it even be the full 25% PBT margins for us, or is it too early, sir?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so the number is all decided. The costing will be decided once the process development is complete.
Okay. Second, on enmetazobactam, in India you said 7,000 crores market, we might get single-digit market share. And in a media interview you had said cumulative sales globally for the next 10 years could be 2 billion. If you could share the number of patients or how did you arrive at this 2 billion figure, that would be very helpful.
On enmetazobactam you talked about.
Yeah.
So actually it's a very difficult exercise. We have used several secondary indicators to try and estimate some numbers. And for example, piperacillin tazobactam, when it was under patent, was a $1 billion product just for the US market. Ceftazidime avibactam currently is a $500 million product globally. So this 2 billion number is over 10 years cumulative sales. So looking at some of these indicators, the price points, the need, the requirement, we hired some experts and we have come up with this estimate.
Okay. And finally, both your products, enmetazobactam seems to be a narrow spectrum antibiotic which covers only ESBL, extended spectrum beta-lactamases, and cefiderocol also seems to be ineffective against certain strains like New Delhi metallurg beta-lactamase and few more also. So is there any threat from other drugs in the pipeline, say sulbactam, darolbactam, or WCK 5222, are we talking to those innovators as well to manufacture to mitigate the risk from our side?
Oh, you're very well informed, Sanjay. So the thing is, you know, today's drugs have to be narrow spectrum so that we don't sensitize the bacteria to you know, every drug, and they can remain the drugs can remain effective. I think all of these drugs must be used complementarily after identification of which is the best drug for the bacteria with which the patient is infected. The bacteria has a defense mechanism with which they mutate and evolve. Like in COVID you were hearing, right? Omicron strain, this strain, that strain, it continuously evolves. The bacteria do the same thing. And all the organizations who are inventing molecules in the world will need to make sure they are managed responsibly so that there are enough antibiotics available for the patients to be treated locally.
Okay. And are we talking to any of these innovators as well? Just in case.
No, as of now, no.
Okay, okay, great. All right, and that's it for me, sir. Thank you and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants may press star and one to ask a question. The next follow-up question is from the line of Rupesh Tatia from IntelSense Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I think I got cut off last time. So one clarification, sir. Hospital business, can we pencil in 5 to 10% revenue for FY25?
5 to 10% of Orchid total? That would be a really large number.
That would be for you?
Yeah, that would be a large number for first year. But yeah, in a few years' time, yes.
Okay, okay. I see, sir. And then another, sir, is numbers question. Can you tell the capital outlay for 7-ACA and Cefiderocol projects?
Yeah, so 7-ACA, we have talked about 600 crores of investment, and for 7-ACA project, between $10 to $15 million.
So this 600 crore for 7-ACA, is that, does that include working capital as well, or that's just the fixed assets?
No, it includes that's the entire project out here.
So, I mean, can you split it between fixed asset and working capital? I think that in the previous, one of the previous presentations, you have given number of 400 crore fixed asset, I think.
No, I think there is some mistake. We are right now not in a position to, you know, differentiate those numbers for you. Once the detailed engineering stage is complete, that's where probably we might have more details.
I think number we have already talked about 600, I think.
Yeah, okay. Okay, sir. Okay. And then this Cefiderocol $15 million investment, I mean, what kind of asset turns would that investment have?
Again, it's difficult to say. The problem with Cefiderocol is, let me say the advantage. The idea is not to actually sell the molecule. It should only be given in case everything else fails to work. And I just stated the global burden of disease data, that what are the possible number of patients. So theoretically, the asset turns could be very high. But unfortunately, right now, we don't have the technology. We don't have a target price. We don't have the price elasticity study. So it would be too soon. That is the only reason our license, which is public, is talks about a PBT margin rather than a cost plus basis, with a typical target price for a CMO.
Okay, so the other way to ask this question is, this would be something like once in 10 year kind of investment. Is that good enough?
Sorry?
Presumption?
Sorry?
This would be, I mean, once in a 10 years, once in a decade kind of investment. There would not be any, you know, follow-on investments.
It would depend, you know, like another person asked on the call, what is the total potential of the product who need these medicines? So right now, without having an idea about how much we can reduce the price, it's difficult to say. Current capacity that we are setting up is for 1 million vials. And if the demand goes to 5 million, obviously we might have to set up more. But all of this is too early to say.
To give you the perspective, the objective of Gartley and Shionogi is that the product does not sell, but the reality is antimicrobial resistance is growing every day. So considering that, you know, they have asked us to keep a scope in such a way, we are designing a plant in such a way that with minimal investment, we can increase the capacity 3 times. So while the ideal situation would be that not so much of this product is required, We do anticipate that there will be a significant growth in demand if we look at 135 countries. But to be honest, to give a number in financial terms would not be correct, because the marketing strategy is not decided by us. It's decided by Gartpi and Shionogi. And the pricing strategy is not decided by us. So it would not be correct to give numbers to you.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much for answering my question, and best of luck.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. So, dear investors, thank you once again for showing confidence in Orchid Pharma. We assure you we will try and work as hard as possible to take this company to the level that it deserves, the infrastructure that Orchid has, the kind of projects that we have taken up. We really hope that this company has some bright future ahead of us in next few years. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Systematics Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.